Please be seated. It's wonderful to be back one last time here at All Saints. We started out down the road in Na'ulp at the monastery church, the Iron Church. Some of us still remember the 2003 convention there when we cleaned up the monastery. Do you all remember that? Those of you who were there? It was, wasn't it special, Carol? And wonderful, too.
It snowed.
And it also snowed, yes. We were blessed, so blessed. But we were blessed to be together, as we are today. And thank you, Fiona, for that psalm setting that you wrote for me.
Yes,
yeah,
it's nice to do it a second time.
Yes. You may have heard me singing along.
I'm afraid I was concentrating.
Oh. Well, of course you were concentrating, of course. Let's talk about the resurrection. Last week's readings started out in this chapter 15, where Paul says that he handed over to the Corinthians the most important thing he had learned when he was a new disciple. That Christ died according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised from the dead according to the scriptures. And when did he learn that? Archaeological evidence, I've been told, suggests that this letter to the Corinthians was written around 55, and so that would be about 20 years after Paul's conversion. So he had been taught that the very first apostles and disciples interpreted their Hebrew scriptures around this event of Christ not only dying on the cross, but also being raised from the dead, according to the scriptures, the fulfillment of the messianic prophecies. So then he goes on, well, how can any of you say, that some of you say there's no resurrection from the dead? And he goes on to say, well, if there's no resurrection, then Christ hasn't been raised. And he makes the point that if Christ hasn't been raised, then there is essentially nothing to our religion, to our faith, to our belief. And your loved ones are totally lost forever, and your faith is null and void. And we, of all people who proclaim this to you, are mostly to be pitied because we are carrying on with this stuff that's false, even though we believe it. And it ends, but Christ has been raised from the dead. That's the fact. Back up a little bit into this scripture, and you have this essentially argument that is a little bit backwards. How can you say there's no resurrection? If there's no resurrection, then Christ has not been raised. The fact is that Paul, as he says in another letter, was a Pharisee. He belonged to the Pharisee party. They believed in angels, the resurrection of the day, in the last day. They believed at the end of the world. And the other sects or currents of Judaism in those days, including the Sadducees, who were the people who believed in the temple worship as the center of life, didn't believe these things. So Paul says elsewhere he's a Pharisee, but so is Jesus, in the sense of having the same beliefs, expressing the same things, the last day, the resurrection of the dead. So that's how it's kind of backwards. How can you say there's no resurrection if, and therefore Christ has not been raised? It should be the other way around. Christ has been raised, therefore there is the resurrection of the dead. But what is it to be raised from the dead? In my later sermon in Mons, in French, I'm going to have to explain that there's a difference between being resuscitated, ressuscité, and the resurrection, la résurrection. But in English, we can use resurrect as a verb. What does it mean? And the very first apostles wondered that too, which is why they searched their scriptures to find out what did this mean. Jesus Christ died on the cross. They were stunned. They were amazed. This wasn't how it was supposed to end. It was supposed to end with how they imagined it. In other words, when they tried to crucify Jesus, the angels would come down, kick the Romans out of Israel, and all would be well. He would be the king. And by the way, those who stuck by him, when they were in there through the thin, they were now in the thick, and they were going to have a wonderful time. This didn't happen. Actually, that never happens to Christians. When we follow Jesus, it doesn't work that way. There's the thin and the thick. The thick is always later. What happened to Jesus? If you think of all the Gospels that we have, the four original Gospels, they're well constructed. They have a point. Matthew is speaking to Jewish Christians. Mark is transcribing the memories of Peter. Luke is creating a history for somebody named Theophilus. The first scroll is the Gospel of Luke that we read from. The second scroll is the Acts of the Apostles. And then you have John, who gives a thoroughly theological interpretation of who Jesus is. And as I said, these are well-constructed, clear, they have an aim until they get to the resurrection stories. And then they basically go berserk, because they're telling the stories that they knew had been handed down, but there's no way to fit them into those narratives in a smooth way. Consider the Gospel of Mark, just really quickly. How does it end? They were afraid. The women come to the tomb, they meet the angel, or the young man in white, and he says, he's not here, he's been raised. And they run away, for they were afraid. What kind of ending is that? And so forth and so on. So they met something that they didn't understand. They knew it was Jesus, and yet it's something else too. So when Paul is saying that if this doesn't happen, there is nothing to our faith, then I think we better have at least something to understand what a resurrection is. It is not that his spirit went on and his body rotted away, and that doesn't work. And it isn't also the other kind of fantasy where, you know, he wakes up and he kicks the stone aside, and he stomps out, and he looks at the guards, and they go, wah! That's too now, you know. This world. And I think the key is that Paul says in his second letter that if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. And I think the way that we can understand a resurrection is that Jesus' dead, cold, bloody corpse was laid in the tomb, and it was a new creation. Out of the old came something new, something that hadn't ever been seen before, that was already the beginning of the end of this old creation and the start of a new. And so, if you look at it this way, we really can't understand, we whose minds are in the old creation, what this new creation is completely, but we have an inkling because they saw Jesus and they recognized him, and yet he was also different. He couldn't die anymore. Beyond that, I don't know. I can't explain it to you. The people who met Jesus risen from the dead can't explain it to us. They just said it in the scriptures, and it's meant to be, and that's what we believe. And here's the real point of the resurrection. It's not about when we die. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. In other words, is, not will be. We are now starting to be this new creation. We are now starting to be, in a way, Jesus extended. That it is in us, the body of Christ, to know that the resurrection is already beginning. And that makes all the difference in the way we live our life. now. There's a difference when you know that this life is not all that's worth living. There's a difference when you know that in this world, after your death, you're going to be forgotten sooner or later. In a little churchyard in southern Delaware, there are two tombstones. One is for my late wife, Melinda, and the other one is for me. And it's already there, it's ready to go, except for the second date has not yet been inscribed on it. It's an interesting experience to look at your own tombstone. I don't think it's morbid at all. I hope not. But what occurred to me as I gazed at this beautiful piece of granite that came from southern Georgia, in the United States, of course. Hey, there's a group of people in Tbilisi in Georgia, the real Georgia, that wants to join us as a congregation. So if you think we're done with six countries, think again. But seriously, here's you already looking at this piece of granite with all these nice letters carved into it. Well, sooner or later, those letters will be illegible. And curious people who like to wander through churchyards will look at this and they'll say, who is he? And everything that I've done in this life will be dust. It doesn't matter, because you see, I'm already rising from the dead. And that stone can't hold me down any more than it can hold you down. We are rising now, or we're not rising at all. The difference is that we no longer see this life solely in its own terms. It's not about power. It's not about making your mark. It's not about security. It's all about beauty. It's not about wealth or all the other things that we chase after like we chase the wind. It's about being like Jesus now. Not dead on the cross, but alive and reaching out to share this new creation, this new life with the world. Not only the human race. The whole creation, Paul says, groans for the revealing of the children of God. That's you and me. The resurrection that we have been promised and that is already starting within us, is what we believe. And, you know, if you don't believe that, I'm okay with that. But I think you should have the courage to live life anyway. But if there's no God, have some guts and live. But if you do believe on Jesus Christ risen from the dead, and you know that Jesus is risen within you, and you are rising to life with Christ now, it makes all the difference in the world. For the fact is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. Amen.